us bow our heads in a word of prayer before we go to the scripture this morning. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, Father, for this opportunity to come and together in your house this morning, Father. And we come with expectation, Lord, to, as we read your word, that your spirit will come and anoint it to us, Father, and inspire it to our hearts, Father. And Lord, that we can grow by your word, Father. And we ask, Father, you increase our faith, dear God. Have your way in this part of the service, dear God, we pray, and bless your people now in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Turn, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Jude. It's a book right before the book of Revelations. And we had been speaking for some time, for several weeks or a couple months or what, on faith. And what I want to speak now on is contending for the faith. Contending for the faith. And Brother Todd, that'll be a part one. And so in the book of Jude, and there's only one chapter in Jude, so, you know, Jude, the servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to them that are sanctified by God the Father and preserved in Jesus Christ and called, mercy unto you and peace and love be multiplied. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. For there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness, and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. I will therefore put you in remembrance, though ye once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, afterwards destroyed them that believed not. And the angels, which kept not their first estate, but left their own habitation, he hath reserved in everlasting chains unto darkness, unto the day of the great the judgment of the great day, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth for an example, suffering the vengeance of eternal fire. Likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh and despise dominion, speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally is brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and then ran greedily after the heir of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Kor. Those are spots in your feasts of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds, trees whose fruits withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots, raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame, wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of their ungodly deeds, which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lusts, and their mouths speak great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But, beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who would walk after their own ungodly lusts. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some having compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. You may be seated. Contending for the faith. Now, as Jude has pointed out here, there were men that they were ordained to condemnation. And you say, how could this be? How could God be fair and do that? Because you realize, friends, listen, God has his children. And the children of God, they're born into this world, children of God. Even though the Bible says we're born into this world, we came forth shaped in iniquity and born in sin and come forth speaking lies, but that just meant we were in need of a Savior. The reason we were born into the world that way was because we were born by the flesh, and because of the fall, the transgression that happened in the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And so everyone that was born after that time was born of the flesh. And so they were born of corruption. And they were born in a fallen flesh, a fallen spirit. And so they had need of a Savior. And we realized that the only way that man could ever go back and partake of the tree of life, he was in need of redemption. He was in need of a Savior, someone who could bridge that gap back so that a man could again be a partaker of eternal life. But when you're born into this world, you were born with the seed of God in you. You were that seed of God that's in you was eternal. It came from God. It never had a beginning. It'll never have an end. And when you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, it quickens that seed within you. And Jesus said, he that believeth on me and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. Amen. And so it's by faith. You have to accept the Lord Jesus by faith. You have to accept salvation by faith. You have to accept healing by faith. You have to accept God's word by faith. And faith cometh by hearing of the word of God. And hearing that word, believing on that word. And then that word is anchored down in your heart. When you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, there is a change that happens down in your heart. That seed gene of God that you were born with, it comes to life. There's a change that happens in your life. And when it changed you before, you know, Brother Renham says, you know, lying is not a sin. Adultery is not a sin. Stealing is not a sin. Those are only attributes of sin. When he was saying that, he said in one service, there was a woman that actually stood up and said, preacher, tell us, what is sin? And his sin is unbelief. And when you believe on Jesus Christ, then there's a change that happens in your heart, and that's why you don't steal. That's why you don't lie. That's why you don't do these things, because a change has happened in your life. Now, the reason people do those things is because they don't believe. that there hasn't been a change happen in their heart. They may have come and joined a church. They may have become a member of a church. They may have shook the preacher's hand. They may have even come up to the altar and prayed. They may have had people pray over them. But if there hasn't been a change happen in their heart, then they go away the same person that they came as. And that's why you'll find that, you know, as Jude says, those that were delivered out of Egypt, that after God delivered them, there were those who didn't believe. And what Jude is speaking of is a time when that Moses came down and sent out the 12 spies, and they went over into the land, and they came back, and 10 of them brought an evil report. And the evil report was actually not an evil report of the land, but it was an evil report of faith. It was an evil report of God's promise. They didn't believe that they were able to take the land. They said it's a good land. It's flowing with milk and honey. But the inhabitants, there's giants in the land, and it eats up the inhabitants thereof, and that we're not able to take it. And so because they didn't believe, God brought judgment on them, and they never crossed over into the promised land until that unbelieving generation had died off. But the children of that unbelieving generation, the Israelites, that did believe, they crossed over with Joshua after the death of that unbelieving generation. So there has been those that have come, and we've watched them come, and they've come to church, and they've journeyed with you, and they've worshiped with you, and they've sat, as Jude says, they feasted with you. Talking about feasting spiritually on the word of God. They feasted with you, but they didn't believe. And because they don't believe, that's why they leave. That's why they exit out of the church, is because of their unbelief. That's why they turn their backs and leave the message, because they don't believe it. You know, when, you know, a church tells them it's okay for you women to cut your hair, it's okay for you to wear pants, it's okay for you to do these things, and they believe what the church says. In order to believe what the church is saying, they've got to disbelieve God's word, because God's word says differently. Friends, listen, I don't care what the church tells you or the preacher tells you, it's what God's word tells us. And any preacher that says different than what God's word's saying, he is a liar. He's a devil. He is anointed of the devil to try to deceive people and send their souls to hell. Now, Jude says, these men of old were foreordained, ordained to this condemnation, and he says they denied the only Lord and our Lord Jesus Christ. How is it that people could deny the Lord today? Because there's so many people that go to churches and different things, and even people who have traveled with us in this message for some time and then turned their back on the message. They don't say they deny the Lord. How are they denying the Lord? If you deny God's word, you are denying the Lord. And friends, this end time message is from God's word. And what God says in it, that's God's word. So when they deny the message, they are denying the Lord Jesus Christ. Jude goes on to say, the angels that kept not their first estate. We know what happened was, the Bible teaches us that Lucifer, you know, Lucifer was an angel of light that God created. But the Bible tells us that Lucifer got lifted up in himself, and he wanted people to worship him, as he wanted to be worshipped like God was worshipped. So he went out
and spread this among the angels of God. And the Bible tells us that the great dragon, the devil, with his tail drew a portion of the angels of God. In other words, they believed what he said. In order for them to believe it, they had to disbelieve God. And so they followed Lucifer. And then God then, there's a war that wages between the angels in heaven, and Michael and his angels, they kicked Lucifer and those following him out of heaven. And they were cast down. And God created hell for them. God didn't create hell for people. He created hell for Lucifer and the angels that followed him. And they fell from their first estate and became demons. It even changed their forms. That's what Jude is speaking of here. The angels that kept not their first estate but left their own habitation. They left of their own will because they didn't believe God. Friends, look, if people don't believe God, then who are they believing? They're believing the devil. I don't care if they go to a church and profess to be a church member. If they're not believing the word, which is God, then they are believing the devil. Listen, Jude says they go in the way of Cain. What was the way of Cain? Cain was offered by God. If you worship like Abel did, I'll accept you. That was God's word. But Cain rejected God's word and instead went out and murdered Abel. Sodom and Gomorrah. He said, even as Sodom and Gomorrah and the cities about them in like manner, giving themselves over to fornication and going after strange flesh, are set forth as an example. What does that mean, set forth as an example? In other words, God consumed them with fire because of the sin they were committing. And the sin that they were guilty of, it explains it here, but when you go back in the scriptures into Genesis and go to that time, you'll find the men of the city of Sodom, when the angels come down to take Lot out, they went in there and said, and knocked on Lot's door and said, bring those men out that we might know them. And they were talking sexually. They were destroyed for homosexuality. They were destroyed for sexual deviance. And Jude says, what God did to them was set forth an example. That's what he's going to do in the day of judgment. Now, I know these aren't politically correct things to say in this day and age. You know, while here in America, in this woke time, they call it, you know, where they're making more rights for those people and all this, and they had a right to do that and a right to do that, and they're actually infringing on the rights of actual moral people. While they're doing that in this country, I just read this morning where that over in Russia, that they're actually implementing more laws and passing more laws to prevent them from doing those things in their streets and things. Actually, their president, I read this morning and quoted him what he said last year. He said, do we want to become a society where it's parent one and parent two and parent three instead of mom and dad? And he said, and listen to what he said. He said, do we want to become a society whereby that we will become extinct? Amen. I'm not pro-Putin, okay? Don't get me wrong, but I'm just saying, you know, why that country is standing against that. This country, you know, from our government on down is promoting this stuff. And I'll tell you something, friends. The word speaks against it. But why are they promoting it? Because they don't believe God's word. And then Jude goes down here to talk about them speaking evil of dignities and speaking evil of things they do not know. You know, and I the thing that amazes me is when you see folks that there's been folks that over the years that have sojourned with us here in this church that, you know, have left and went their way and all that, and you think they could just say, look, you know what, I don't want to be a Christian anymore. You know, I want to drink, I want to do all these other things, I want to wear makeup, I want to, you know, wear pants, I want to do these other things, I want to live this way and all that, and so I'm going my way. But they don't. They've got to speak evil. You know why they do that? Because they're wanting to justify themselves. They got a religious spirit that stays on them where they want to remain religious. They want to remain justified. They want to feel all right about themselves. So in order to feel all right about themselves, they got to speak evil of others. And that's the same thing that we have watched this happen with people who have turned their backs on this end time message and walked away. They can't just walk away and say, you know what, look, you know what, I differ with y'all as much as the Church of Christ or the Catholic Church or the whatever else. I differ with y'all on that, so I'm just going to go start my own church and all that, you know. No, they've got to find some kind of fault. They got to find something evil to say about it. Well, there's many examples in the Bible of what happens when people speak evil of God's people and the things of God. But here, Jude goes on to say, the people that do that, they're gone in the way of Cain. We explained that. The era of Balaam, you know, just quickly, Balaam was actually a prophet. But when Israel came out of Egypt and they were passing through the land, you know, the inhabitants of the land, they wanted, and they were actually descendants of Esau, who, you know, was the brother of Jacob, the son of Isaac, who was the son of Abraham. So these descendants of Esau, they wanted Balaam, this prophet, to go down and curse the descendants of Jacob. And so Balaam goes before the Lord and says, you know, can I curse him? God says, no. So Balaam goes back and he tells Balak, he says, the king, he says, I can't do it. The Lord says, no. He said, well, I'll pay you this amount of money if you will do it. Balaam said, let me go back and ask the Lord again. See, it showed what was more important to Balaam. Oh, you're going to pay me that amount of money? Let me go back and ask the Lord if he'll reconsider and let me do it after all. But what Balaam did was, Balaam, you know, when he came down, instead of cursing him, he actually, you know, Balak said, you blessed him. You know, Balaam said, who can curse what God has blessed? But what Balaam did was, Balaam introduced Israel into intermarrying amongst the other people, unbelievers. And that brought about the sin in Israel. No wonder the Bible says, talking about marriage, don't be unequally yoked. Brother Branham says, a believer should never marry an unbeliever under no circumstances. Now, I know there's people that even claim to believe this message and believe that there are extenuating circumstances to where you say, well, you know, well, y'all going to have a kid together, you need to get married. Under no circumstances marry an unbeliever.
You'll end up paying for it if you do. The gainsaying of Korah. Who was Korah?
You know, here it's spelled C-O-R-E. In the Old Testament it's spelled K-O-R-A-H, I believe. But it was someone from Israel. When Moses and the Israelites came out, he was an Israelite. But he stood up against Moses and said, what, you make yourself holy? You think you're the only holy one? God can speak through us too. He challenged the authority of Moses. But he wasn't really challenging Moses. He was challenging God. And look what God did. He told Moses, tell him, you know, all those that want to stand with me to stand over here with you, I'm going to cause a great thing to happen. I'm going to cause the earth to open up and swallow them. And that's what happened. And then, you know, Jude goes on to explain further about these people that they're unbelievers. Those that, friends, look, they leave the message, they leave the church, they leave, and I don't care where else they go. But when they leave, they're leaving Jesus Christ. And when they speak evil of this message, they're speaking evil of God's word. And when you speak evil of God's word, you are speaking evil of God. You are speaking evil against the Holy Ghost. When you speak against the works of the Holy Ghost, you're speaking evil of the Holy Ghost. And Jesus said, that sin will not be forgiven in this world, nor the world to come. And Jude goes on to tell you about these ones. He said, woe unto them, they've gone in the way of Cain, ran greedily at the heir of Balaam for reward, and perish in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feasts of charity. And he's not talking about eating natural food. When he's talking about feasts of charity, he's talking about when you come together to hear the word of God. And they, you know, friends, look, they've come and sat right down with you. And he said, there's spots in your feasts of charity. They feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Every wind of doctrine. Anything that blows through moves them from where they are. Trees whose fruit withereth, without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And then look what he says. Enoch, being the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000 of his saints to execute judgment upon all. Who's going to judge these folks? You, the bride of Jesus Christ. You, the believers of the word. Those that believe God's word will be those who judge those who didn't believe God's word. All their hard speeches. Oh yeah, they have a lot of hard speeches. Things to say about you. Things to say about the church. Things to say about the message. Things to say about the prophet. They're murmurers, complainers, and walking after their own lusts. And Jude calls them ungodly in so many different terms. He says, they are ungodly among them, all their ungodly deeds, ungodly committed, ungodly sinners. But Jude tells us, he says here in verse 13, how they told you there shall be mockers in the last time. This is the last time. These are the last days. But he tells us why? Because they don't have the Spirit. And when you look at that, that's a capital S. S-P-I-R-T, capital S, Spirit. That's speaking about the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of God. They don't have it. Brother Bam says, you can't play with the devil. You can't, he said, you can't play Satan. You can't make Satan. Satan knows whether you believe or not. He said, you can't make it out, make out that you believe. He said, you can't impersonate a believer. You either really believe or you don't. And the Bible says, by their fruits you'll know them. You know, people say, oh, I believe. You know, we've had many come, you know, they start and they say, oh, I believe, I believe, I believe. But then you watch their life and see the direction they go and the things they say and all that, and you find out they never believed in the first place. Paul said they went out from us because they weren't one of us. There's only two things, faith and unbelief. And the prophet said, you're going to have one of them too. You're either going to believe or you're not going to believe. If you believe, then you're a Christian. If you don't believe, then you're not. Believe what? Not believe what the church says. Not believe the doctrines of the denomination. Believe God's word. Pure and unadulterated. To unbelief is sin. That's what sin is unbelief. People do, as I said earlier, they lie, they steal, they do all these things because they don't believe. They don't believe God's word. God's word spells out very clear that people who do that, they're not going to go to heaven. But there's people that do those things and they believe they're okay. How can they believe that? Because they're believing something. But they're not believing God, so what are they believing? They're believing the devil. Just like the serpent came to Eve. And you know, you realize it was the devil in the serpent that was speaking to Eve. And it said, has he not said you can eat of all the trees of the garden? Yep, he said that. Except the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For in the day we eat thereof, that day we'll die. And look, he was quoting God's word all the way up to this point, the serpent was. And then he said, surely you'll not die. And Eve believed him. And she stepped out from behind the word of God that was protecting her. And then the Bible tells us she was deceived, but said Adam was not deceived. Adam knew what he was doing. Adam actually took the place of Christ for Eve and went out to become her Savior. Now, it's just like if you needed healing. If you came and you believed God would heal you, then you can be healed. But if you don't believe, you'll leave the same way you came. It's the same thing with salvation. If you believe unto the Savior for salvation, then you're saved. But if you can believe, then you're not saved. And the thing about it is, if you really believe, and you've got to really believe, not just saying you believe, not just words, lip service, but actually something change in your heart that makes you believe. The word of God anchors down in your soul. Amen. Read with me in the book of St. John, chapter 12, verse 37 through 40. I actually just read from this a few services ago, but I wanted to bring it back in for this point. But though he had done so many miracles before them, talking about Jesus, yet they believed not on him, that the saying of Elias the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, Lord, who hath believed our report? To whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed? Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said again, he had blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes nor understand with their heart and be converted. Now, friends, look, how can a person be blind from seeing it? Because look, the woman at the well, when Jesus went down to the woman at the well and spoke to her, and you know, and he told her, she says, well, we know that when the Messiah comes, he'll tell us these things. And he says, I'm he that speaks to you. And so she ran down into the city and said, come see a man that told me everything I ever done. Is not this the Messiah? And yet Jesus spoke some of the same things and done the things, the works of God, right in front of the priests, the Israelite priests, right down in the temple. And yet they didn't believe. What was the difference? There wasn't anything in them to believe with. They weren't a child of God. They weren't a seed of God. All they were religious devils. But that woman, even though she lived a horrible life and committed many bad, horrible things, yet there was a seed of God inside of her. And when the word of God crossed her heart, it brought that alive, and she recognized Jesus Christ for who he was. The priests down at the temple, remember, they were the ones that paid Judas the money to betray him, so that they could bring him up and put him to death. So how are they blinded? How are their hearts hardened? Because there's nothing in there to believe with. But yet with their mouth, they claim to believe Jehovah. They claim to worship Jehovah. They read the laws of the prophets. They read the prophecies of the prophets and said they believed them. While they were saying they believed them, they were denying the one that Isaiah had spoken of and said, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son. And here these priests and all that, they were going around saying he's an illegitimate child. They didn't even believe what they read. Now, if you'd asked them directly, do you believe what Isaiah said? They would have told you, yes, I believe what Isaiah said. But that what they believed was, they believed their own interpretation that they put upon it. That's the same thing with you see religious people today that tell you they believe the Bible. But yet they live lives, wear clothes and different things that the Bible speaks against. And yet they say they believe the Bible. What do they believe? They believe the spin that they've put on it. Now, who calls them to put that spin on it? The same one that calls the serpent to go down and say, surely you'll not die. Brother Branham says, look, in your church, there are certain members, certain people, that will really believe with their hearts. Not just, you know, friends, look, my parents came into this message when I was a little boy. I can remember a time of my parents going to a denomination. But I remember when they came into this end time message. And so I was just a little boy. And so I have seen, I was baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when I was 8 years old. And I have seen a lot of things happen. I'll be 61 next month. I've seen a lot of things happen over those years. I've seen a lot of things that people that have come and went that said they believed this message, said they believed the prophet, said they believed these things, and I've watched them come. I've watched them sojourning with you for years. I've watched them have tapes and duplicate tapes and have books and read this and quote that and quote this and, you know, and worship with you and all these different things and then walk away. Bible said they would do it. The Bible, Jude said they would. He said, how they told you there shall be mockers in the last time. The Bible also speaks about there being a falling away. Who are those that fall away? Those who don't really believe. You know, they say, well, you know, Brother so-and-so, who has followed this message for years, he went and investigated and found out there is nothing in the news concerning those men dying on that bridge that Brother Branham said that happened. And all of a sudden, they're shaking. And people that hear them say it and that, they're shaking. And the next thing you know, they're denying the prophet of God. Why? Because they never really believed. They never really believed. And so God sends a spirit of a strong delusion that they would believe a lie and be damned by it. Turn with me. We'll read it. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10. And with all deceivableness of unrighteous in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. There it is, friends. They never loved it. Why did they not love the truth? Because they didn't become one with it. Why did they not become one with it? The same thing that Jesus says in the book of Matthew, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. They never had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. Because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Read with me in Ephesians chapter 6. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 6. I'm skipping and running all through these notes today, just following the leading the Holy Spirit. And I've went back and forth over and over these notes that I've got down, trying to make sure I got them in the order as I felt inspired and things and that. But I just got to follow how the Holy Spirit's leading me through here. Hallelujah. Now, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 11. Put on the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. What are the wiles of the devil? The things that the devil brings through other people and things to say, this isn't true. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It isn't these men that have left the message that we're wrestling against. It isn't these men and women. It's the spirit that is on them. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girded about with the truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Amen. And the Bible tells us, I won't have you turn it, but because it's just a couple of verses, but it's in 1 Corinthians 4, 1 and 2. The Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. Why can they leave the message and go out and do things that they had been taught that were wrong by the word of God? Because their conscience is seared. They don't feel condemned by it any longer. How come you can see that they were at one time supposedly preaching this message in the pulpit, and the next thing you know, you see them on Facebook out by a picnic table with a can of beer? How come? Because their conscience has been seared over by a hot iron. They don't feel condemned. Why? Friends, when this happens, they're gone. You cannot turn your back on the word of God and think that the only thing that's left waiting you is judgment. When you call God and the things of God evil, when you go out here and you say, well, you know what? The message is a cult. That church is a cult. You are speaking against God. Can't speak evil against God and get by. Oh, you might live a long life during the time that this world's still continuing on. But as the Bible says, they're dead while they yet live. Why? Because they've been separated from God. And in the day of judgment, when those that believe are sitting there with changed bodies, eternal, they're going to be condemned to the body that they committed the sin in of speaking evil against God and his word. And they won't be able to say, I didn't do it, because there's going to be a big movie of them played right before on the screens of the sky that shows them exactly what they said. And the preachers that they sat in the services and heard the word of God, that's in the book of Revelations. The voice of many waters will speak of God against them and say, you were in the service, you heard it, you heard the word of God, and you turned your back on it and walked away. They love the world more than they love God. Now, we read about it saying, put on the whole armor of God, as Paul said. Go with me back to the book of Jude, because here at the end of this chapter, Jude goes through pretty much saying these same things that Paul was saying about putting on the whole armor of God to withstand the wiles of the devil. And here Jude is through this chapter. Judas went through and he's talking about all these unbelievers and ungodly people. And then he tells the believers what to do. He says here in verse 20, but ye, beloved, build up yourselves on your most holy faith. How do you build yourself up? By reading the word of God. By listening to the word of God. By hearing the message. You build yourself up. Don't just wait to get here on Sunday and Thursday and think that'll do it. But ye, beloved, build yourself up
on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God. Look for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And if some have compassion, making a difference, others saved with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted with flesh. Now listen here. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. How is he able to keep you from falling? It's not coming down by continually convincing you every time, you know, somebody has a doubt. There's a change that's happened down in your heart. That's how he keeps you. There's a change that's happened down in your heart. And then to recognize your faith, you are sealed by the Holy Ghost. To recognize your faith, your belief in his word, he seals you by his own spirit. And you're sealed, the Bible says, until the day of redemption. And that's talking about the day when he comes to take his saints. You're sealed. Once you're sealed, you cannot be lost. You will not fall. You will not turn your back on this message. No matter what any preacher says, no matter what anybody that is claimed to be a believer says against it, it won't deter you. It won't move you. Because something has happened down in your heart. In the book of Psalms, I won't have you turn, but I'm just going to read these off to you. Psalm 16:8. I have set the Lord always before me, because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. Talking about his bride. God shall help her, and that right early. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense. I shall not be moved. A man shall not be established in wickedness, but the root of righteousness, and shall not be moved. Why are we not moved by all these things? You know, I've had people say they went online and watched these different ones' videos that's left the message, you know, and heard the things that, you know, they could be very convincing, the things they're saying. Why are we not convinced? I shall not be moved, because something has happened down in my soul. My soul has come alive. And it wasn't those men that did it to me. It was Jesus Christ that did it. It was the word of God in this end time. It wasn't the word of some denomination. It wasn't the word of some bishop. It wasn't the word of some church. It was the word of God, pure and unadulterated, pure truth. And I have a love of God's truth in my heart. Some years ago, 20-some years ago, I heard a message that Brother Eddie Biscoe was preached. I don't even remember the name of the message now and that, but I remember one thing he said on there. He said, I have prayed and said, God, help me not to waste my time on serpent seed. And what he was talking about was, you know, as a pastor, you deal with so many different people. And the people come in and you do all you can to try to help anybody and everybody that says they want help. But there are people who come in, and I have watched them come in and sit here with us and sojourn with us. And friends, you know, they call the pastor like 911 every time something goes wrong, and you know, with what they got going on. And, you know, they want you to meet with them right then and right there and do something about it and all this, you know, and the other. Then you see them turn around and walk out of the church and turn their back on the message and turn their back on God. Serpent seed. And any time I spent with them was wasted time. Some years ago, Lydia Rose had a cat that was having kittens. And this cat had been injured in a, had been hit by a car, so her hips were injured, and she couldn't have the kittens naturally. And so I took the cat, I called up the vet, and it was in the middle of the night, and I took the cat over there in the middle of the night. He had to come in special to help,
and he had to do a C-section and deliver these kittens. But it had been several hours that had transpired, you know, and once a baby, kitten, dog, human, whatever, that the umbilical cord and that has separated, they only got so long to be delivered. And so what had happened was when they were delivered, there wasn't none of them breathing. And so he didn't have anybody else there to help him, just me and him. And he told me, he says, look, you've got to do what the mother would normally do when the baby's born. When this kitten's born, you got to remove the sack off of it. And he says, and the mothers are not easy with them. They're really rough. They lick on them and all that, you know, and rough them up and things. He said, they're not just drying them off. What they're doing, they're stimulating them to breathe. And he said, so you're going to have to do this. And he gave me some little towels and things, you know. He says, and you need to get that sack off them, and you need to really rub them hard. And then he showed me how to take and shake them down like that to get the fluids to come out, you know, that was up in their nasal cavities and things so that they could breathe. And he said, you've got to really rub on them to get them breathing. And so he went on, and he was bringing a kitten out, and then bring another kitten out, and then bring another kitten out. And I was out there rubbing on him, you know, and going from one to the other and that. And he came out there. I don't remember how many kittens it was now, but there was only one kitten that was breathing. But that kitten that was breathing was still wet from birth. But the kittens who weren't breathing, I had dried them off. And the reason was, I was so concerned about them ones trying to get them to breathe and live that I was spending all my time on them. But because that one was breathing, I was neglecting it. And after that happened, he told me, he said, he pushed them ones that wasn't breathing aside, and he said, they were never born. He said, you got to concentrate on this one right here that's breathing. He said, you've got to give your attention to this one right here that's breathing. And the Lord spoke to me through that as a pastor and said, you need to focus on the ones that I'm doing a work in their lives and quit wasting your time on serpent seed. Those that will never be born of God. They'll never have a change in their life. Now, as a man, just like you, I don't know the difference. I've just got to do as the Lord leads me. Only, friends, look, according to the scriptures, the devil don't even know who belongs to him. Only God knows who belongs to him and who belongs to the devil. Only God knows who's redeemable. So what do you do as a pastor? What do you do as a believer? You've just got to cast the word out there. And those who the word has an effect on their lives and brings a change in their lives, that's the children of God. Those that sit under this word, and there's never a, and I'm not talking about, you know, turning over a leaf or acting like a believer. I'm not talking about being able to quote this and quote that, you know, of Brother Branham and all that, you know, and put on a front like you're a believer. I'm talking about a life that shows you are a believer. I've had folks, you know, I've had men get around me, you know, and they come to church here in a while, and they fellowship with you and everything, and every time they get around me, they try to think of something spiritual to say around me. Do you think the conversation in my house between me and my wife is always about something spiritual? No. It don't mean we don't talk about the things of the Lord. We do. But, you know, friends, look, I'm not trying to impress her by what I know about the Lord. And she ain't trying to impress me about what she knows about the Lord. You know, and these men that I say, they're trying to impress me. It isn't really trying to impress me about what they know about the Lord. They're trying to deceive me. The spirit that's on them is trying to deceive me into thinking they are a believer. Discern the spirit. If they are a believer, friends, then their life will reflect the word of God. This, I want to get right. You know, I've had people that have been, you know, around the church and the message and things, you know, and they've been around it for years, and then they go out and they live in the world and they do these similar things, and then they come and say, I want to get right. They've been here long enough to know how to get right. Confess your sin. Repent of it. That don't mean just saying, I'm sorry I got caught. I'm sorry that I got thrown in jail because I abused somebody. No, you got to be sorry about what you done, not about what happened to you. Look, the Bible tells us, friends, look, he saves prostitutes. But what does he do? He changes their life. They repent of their life. They repent of how they were living. They don't say, well, man, I got picked up for prostitution by the police and thrown in jail because I standing down the street corner. I'll tell you, people have gone insane. I'm going to show you how people are in this world. I was reading in the news this morning, there was these people that were complaining because they went to a couple of restaurants that served, one restaurant, I think it was Red Lobster, and they served all-you-could-eat shrimp. Okay, so they went there, a family of six. They ordered two all-you-could-eat dinners of shrimp and two children's shrimp. That's four dinners to feed six people. And they got upset because Red Lobster's manager came over and said, hey, y'all cannot be sharing this all-you-can-eat shrimp. And boy, they were upset about it. And another one went to Olive Garden and all you could eat pasta, you know. And so there was a group of them around the table, and they were just passing and sharing the pasta around. And the manager came up and said, y'all can't be doing that. If everybody wants to eat pasta, then everybody, each individual's got to pay for that. I mean, that just makes sense, doesn't it? But here they were complaining about it and going, I tell you, I've never been treated like that before in my life in a restaurant. You know how they did me and made me feel so bad and embarrassed? Anybody can do math and tell you can't feed six people out of four meals. But see how they think? That's the way they think about the things of the Lord, too. Well, it's not fair. One person said, I paid for the food. I ought to be able to do with it what I want. Yeah, but the rules on the menu say no sharing. See, they don't care about the rules. God's word says homosexuality is wrong, but they don't care. They'll point at something else on there and say, well, I'll tell you what, I, God loves everybody. If God loves everybody, then why did he destroy Sodom and Gomorrah with fire and brimstone? The Bible teaches God loves them who love his word. Oh, I want to get right. You know, I want to get right. Well, the first thing you got to do when you come back here to church that you want to get right is if you've spoke evil against the pastor and against members in this church, you got to go make that right. That's the first thing you got to do because you have sinned. So you've got to go make that right. You got to confess to them what you've done and make that right and say, forgive me, I did wrong. I told lies on you. I spoke evil of you. Friends, for the life of me, I do not understand why somebody would want to come here and park themselves on a pew here and say they want to get right when they have, why would they want to listen to me when what they've done is talked evil about me on the phone to other people? Why? They're liars. They're devils. They've got a demonic spirit on them. And we've got to discern the spirits. By their fruits you'll know them. If they really wanted to get right, their fruit would be to repent of the evil they've done. I've said this before, and I know it puts me kind of in danger of some thoughts of some people in that, but I'm going to say it again anyhow. I've watched people come and say that, and say they want to get right and all this, and they have so journeyed with us here in this church for years at one time. Say that then they go out, they do all these things, and they come back, they say they want to get right, they sit on a pew, they never put one penny in that box back there. And yet they know by the word of God what they're supposed to do. They know what the word of God says about tithe and offerings. But they don't do one of those things. And I've watched other folks come in here that they were never in church in their entire life. And they come in here and God saves them, and one of the first things they do is give. That's fruits. That's showing forth fruits in their life. And friends, look, I'm not saying this because I'm trying to get your money or I'm about money. What I'm telling you is that is also part of the word of God. So what if they go out to eat with you and they tell you, well, I want to get right in that, and you tell them, oh, I'm glad you came, you know. And then they end up going right back out of here, and what do? They do exactly what they were doing before they came, speaking evil again of the pastor in the church. I shall not be moved. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh my. Let's stand. I knew this was going to be a part one. I knew I have to go back over these notes. I don't even know what I got to and what I didn't hardly. Hallelujah. What we want is a seal of the Spirit of God in our life. The Word of God, when the Word of God anchors in your life, friends, there's nothing nobody can say or do that will move you. When the word of God is anchored in your life on your healing, it doesn't matter how many symptoms you have, no matter who says what, how many demons attack you, you still hold fast and believe that Jesus Christ has healed you. Your faith is not based on what you feel. Your faith is based on what God said. That's what you anchor on. You don't anchor on your feelings. You anchor on what God said. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning, Lord, for your word, for this message that you've laid on our heart to deliver to the people, and for the anointing that you brought to deliver it, dear God. I pray, God, that you will take this message and bless it to the hearts of the individuals this morning, dear Father. I pray, dear God, may, Father, it be an everlasting word that leaves out of here with them, dear God, that, Father, has touched something in their soul that's eternal, dear God. I pray, Father, your blessings on them this day and things in their fellowship, and Father, and I pray, God, you'll just increase their faith and grow the word in them, Father. May their lives grow in the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray, Father, that you would go with us now, Father. Bless the people in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.